Radio Daily for, yes indeed, finally Fracking Friday. And I don't know about all of you, but Lord, do I need one of these right shot today. So, Donka Shane to the great turtle, may we ride his back throughout the cosmos beautifully. Hi, it's the 10th of August. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You know us, you love us. I don't have to say anymore. Let's go. The folks bringing it to you today, well, the man ready for the weekend. Yep, you'll hear his battle cry. That there's podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
Disco is not dead. Disco is life.
Yeah. You got to believe there, brother. Hey there. I'm a superhero. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
I'm like Superman. I know when I'm needed.
I know when I'm needed. Yo, what happened on this fine day, fool?
In 1675, Turkey, the foundation stone of the Royal Greenwich Observatory in London is laid by King Charles II. I realized I just slipped into Dusty Roads, baby.
Yeah, it's that you started with Aunt Esther. That was amazing. 1846, an act of Congress signed by U.S. President James K. Polk establishes the Smithsonian Institution as a trust to administer the generous bequest of James Smithsonian, the amount of $500,000. Quick bonus note, James K. Polk, the K stands for Knox. Right, Richmond trivia players?
1928, John Logie Baird demonstrates television pictures with a stereoscopic relief effect.
Oh, that's like comic relief, but the early days. 1932, an 11.2-pound, 5.1-kilogram, chondrite-type meteorite breaks into at least seven pieces and lands near the town of Archie in Cass County, Missouri, which kind of sounds like the opening to a movie.
And it's also going to be factored into a story later on, at least parts of that.
Ooh.
1960, an ejected space capsule from Discoverer 13 is recovered after it returns from orbit, becoming the first human-made object ever recovered from space.
We did it. 1966, the first Lunar Orbiter 1, is launched on a mission to photograph potential landing sites for the Apollo and Surveyor missions.
Well, let's face it, coming up with names for things isn't rocket science. A daylight meteor on the same day, same Earth, is seen from Utah to Canada. It is the only known case of a meteor entering the Earth's atmosphere and then leaving again. Peace out, suckers.
I was gonna land, but I saw where you're headed. 1981, according to Twin Galaxies, Samir Mehtar scores a record-setting 338,000 points playing the Atari arcade game Centipede for 30 minutes at the Time Zone Arcade in Mountain View, California. 30 minutes? That's amazing for that game.
1983, a cockpit-style version of a Star Wars coin-operated arcade game is presented to George Lucas by Don Osborne, Vice President of Marketing for Atari Incorporated. An inscription on the game reads, "A special thanks for creating the force behind so much fun."
Oh,
I loved that game.
It was so great. With Ben right there in your ears, Luke. 1984, MGM releases the action film Red Dawn, directed by John Milius of Conan the Barbarian fame, starring Patrick Swayze, C. Thomas Howell, Leah Thompson, Powers Booth. It is the first widely distributed PG-13 film ever released.
Wolverines!
What happened to a million angry Chinese?
1987, Borland International releases the Quattro spreadsheet software for the IBM PC.
1990, the NASA space probe Magellan arrives at its planned polar orbit around the planet Venus, collecting radar images of the surface and strips 10 to 17 miles wide, and returns that data via radio.
1992, the first South Korean satellite, KitSat A, is launched.
Now that sounds like an awesome name. 1994, the first Turkish satellite, TurkSat-1B. Now see, that's too easy. After orbital test, TurkSat-1B will go into service October 10th, so we'll remind you how they did.
2003, aboard the International Space Station, Russian cosmonaut Yuri Malachenko becomes the first person married in space. During the wedding, his bride, Ekaterina Dmitrievna, teleconferences with Malachenko from Texas. Well, we don't find out about the honeymoon?
Pornhub's got a story about it. 2004, the iTunes Music Store adds the millionth song to its library of available selections. I believe it was Disco Duck.
I hope that's true. 2005, astronomers discover the first triple asteroidal system, which consists of two satellites orbiting the asteroid 87 Sylvia.
Same day, same year, same Earth. Leah Sug Soap, a 28-year-old industrial boiler repairman, dies of exhaustion in Taegu, South Korea, after playing the real-time strategy game StarCraft continuously for over 49 hours at an internet cafe, which might be one of the first geek news stories we did back on Geek Label.
Wow. 2007, Lionsgate Entertainment releases the horror action film Skinwalkers, directed by James Isaac and starring Jason Bear, Elias Codiez, who I always get confused with Chris Maloney, Rona Mitra, and Kim Coates.
Maybe they were separated at birthdays? Huh?
Brenton Thwaites, 29 years old. Maleficent, Gods of Egypt. Pirates, Dead Men Tell No Tales.
Oh, you wish. Ari Boyland is 31. That's Flynn! And Power Rangers RPM, which is like, I don't know, the 7,000th version they did?
Yeah. Angie Harmon, 46 years old, from Law & Order, Batman Beyond, Return of the Joker, and Rizzolian Isles.
Justin Theroux is 47, from American Psycho, Mulholland Drive, and Iron Man 2.
Boy, he's been in a bunch of stuff. Claudia Christian, 53 years old, from The Hidden and Innova on Babylon 5.
Antonio Banderas is 59 years old, from Desperado, Four Rooms, Spy Kids, The Mark of Zorro, Puss in Boots, and that very special South Park episode.
Well, and of course, probably the greatest role he ever had as the Nestlenex Bear. Rick Overton, 64 years old. He's a stand-up comedian. He was in Willow, Die Hard, The Rocketeer, Groundhog Day, Eight-Legged Freaks. He was one of those guys that was in like every 80s movie.
Pretty much. Diane Venora, 66, from the underappreciated Wolfen, FX, Romeo plus Juliet, and The 13th Warrior, speaking of Antonio Banderas.
Jeez. Born this day no longer with us in 1889, we have Charles Darrow, American game designer, created Monopoly. Fun fact, Rob Reiner can say all of the squares on a Monopoly board from memory.
Okay. 1898, Jack Haley, best known for being the Tin Man in The Wizard of Oz. Oh, Dorothy. The Snagglepuss, you know, predecessor.
Snaggletooth Predator or Snagglepuss Predator. Just, if it bleeds, we can kill it. Exit stage left, stage right even. 1913, Noah Barry Jr. from Rocket Ship XM, Standing Tall, The Rockford Files, and The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
That's such a fun, stupid movie. 1914, Jeff Corey from The Killers, Arsenic and Old Lace, Superman and the Mole Men, The Sword and the Sorcerer, Conan the Destroyer, and Fist of the North Star. That's a resume.
Wow. 1927, Vernon Washington from The Last Starfighter, Friday the 13th, The New Beginning.
Oh, I know exactly who that is then. 1939, Kate O'Mara from Horror of Frankenstein, and of course was the Ronnie on a little show called Doctor Who.
Which is probably on television somewhere on CBS. We've got a new TKO, TKO, Whistleblower, and a rerun of Blue Bloods.
ABC, it's a rerun of Fresh Dew? I don't know what that means. What Would You Do is on as well in 2020. God, I can't type.
One of their sponsors is Free Shavakadu.
Oh, okay.
NBC rerun has American Ninja Warrior. Rerun has it. No, yep. American Ninja Warrior is a rerun and the Dayline. Wow, we are a mess today.
It has. I'm telling you, we needed this. We needed this weekend. Fox is rerunning The Resident and The Orville.
CW has two new masters. If Illusion.
AMC apparently is just continuously showing Lethal Weapon movies. Now they're on 3 and 4, so going down in quality.
A&E has a new life PID.
Bravo has The Green Mile. You turn the lights off at night, boss.
Discovery Channel has a hazardous storm putting the mining operation in dire jeopardy in a new Cooper's Treasure.
FX has the completely unneeded and unnecessary Now You See Me Too.
I still want to see it. FXX, Simpsons Marathon, Bart, Selma's Choice, I Love Lisa, and Last Exit to Springfield.
FXM has Pixels, so there's that.
I need to see a smash cut of just the Dinklage parts. History Channel has artificial intelligence on a new In Search Of.
BBC America X-Files Marathon, including Tempest Fugit and Synchrony. Not Synchronicity. That was The Police.
Sci-Fi has Nicole uncovering a clue about her past as the Force makes its secrets known on a new Winona Earp and a new Killjoy.
TBS is so in San Andreas. San Andreas.
The Rock is in between a hard place.
See?
TNT has Live Free or Die Hard.
VH1 has Titanic, which has something in common. We're watching the Lifetime Movie Network because when Isabel Wagner takes the plunge to attend her 20-year high school reunion with her daughter, Sierra, why? She comes face-to-face with her past when she's reunited with former classmate Rival, who insinuates herself into their lives. Isabel's world comes crashing down, and she soon realizes that 20 years hasn't changed Andrea at all. April Bowlby, Hannah Hall, Kim Director star in Homecoming Revenge.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what soap opera's Billy Flynn is doing today. It's your Days of Our Lives Chad update.
Hope and Ray finally reunite. And once again, the soundtrack swells with peaches and herb. Sierra urges Ben to stay in Salem, because it's always best to know the whereabouts of an arsonist. Marlena is upset when John sees her in the wedding dress, so I guess the door did not lock itself. Gabby manipulates her way to living under the same roof as Chad. Aw, don't you remember a few years back when I was good enough? I'm only one letter off. Hashtag Chappy. Forever. It will be. You just wait and see.
Looks like you've got mail waiting.
Indeed we do. Hey, wonderful and podcastings. Yesterday's GRD Breakfast Theater forced me to stop at IHOP. Glad they progressed out of the IHOP phase. Oh, me too. As I was suddenly craving pancakes. Because of this, I was late to work. You are a terrible influence on me. By the way, crepes are just pancakes that join CrossFit and won't stop telling you about it. Thin, smug, pretentious. Make mine fluffy and GRD. That's from Carol.
She's not wrong.
She isn't at all. And you know, really, if you're going to do fluffy, French toast, that's simply the way to go. Drop us a note, won't you please? It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, you can always drop a voicemail describing your best French toast recipe, because, Lord, do I love me some French toast. Drop that over at
510-GRD-CROW.
And we'll get to cooking.
Oui, oui.
It was the dawn of the third age of comics, 15 years after the rise of the Comics Code Authority. The Bronze Age was a dream given form. Its goal? To portray superheroes in a way that was socially relevant by tackling real-world issues. It's a catch-all, a place to explore monsters, demons, gunslingers, gods, and superheroes alike. Writers and artists wrapped in house styles of sophisticated realism, creating the stuff of legends. There is no assurance of quality, but it's our last best hope for comic books. This is a retrospective of the true Golden Age. The year is 1970. The name of the podcast, Uncovering the Bronze Age. Tune into our feed for regular content at relativelygeekypodcast.blogspot.com. Also home to the Quarterbin Podcast and the Shortbox Showcase.
Hi, this is James O'Barr, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily. Both of you are.
Oh, that man is such a hoot. Let me tell you. Get him a drink or two, and the stories you'll hear. Welcome! You know what it's all about. We got to find out what we're doing, and this time I'll tell you.
I got an idea for a movie.
Doesn't everybody?
Sure. So what's out there today? What got made?
Well, in limited release, we've got a workaholic dad stuck in a nowhere job, inherits a rundown circus from a distant relative he hardly knew. On the brink of losing his job, his house, and his sanity, he uncovers a magical box of animal crackers that gives him the uncanny ability to become any animal from the box. Emily Blunt, John Krasinski, and Danny DeVito are animal crackers.
Ashley is sent to live with her estranged Aunt Tanya, and while in her old hometown, she has visions of her deceased mom driving her to contact the spirit world. Ashley unknowingly unearths a demonic force, which leaves her loved ones fighting for her soul. Sydney Sweet and Jessica Barth, along came the devil.
It's good to see that the Chiller Network is making things for the Hallmark Channel. It's the early 1970s, and Ron Stallworth is the first African-American detective to serve in the Colorado Springs Police Department. Determined to make a name for himself, Stallworth bravely sets out on a dangerous mission: infiltrate and expose the Ku Klux Klan. The young detective soon recruits a more seasoned colleague, Flip Zimmerman, into the undercover investigation of a lifetime. Together, they team up to take down the extremist hate group as the organization aims to sanitize its violent rhetoric to appeal to the mainstream. John David Washington, Adam Driver, and Ryan Eggold star in Black Klansman.
Let's not forget that Topher Grace is playing David Duke. You got to see it for that alone. Nationwide, in a small town in Massachusetts, four high school girls perform a ritual in an attempt to debunk the lore of Slender Man. When one of the girls goes mysteriously missing, they begin to suspect that she is, in fact, his latest victim. Joey King, Julia Goldani tells, and Annalise Basso star in Slender Man.
Miles stumbles upon an advanced robotic military dog, endowed with the next generation artificial intelligence, but with the heart of a dog. He forms an emotional bond with Miles, much to the chagrin of the rogue military scientist who created him, and would do anything to retrieve him. Knowing what is at stake if he gets captured, Miles teams up with his smart, resourceful crush Sarah to protect his new best friend. Alex Newsted out of the lure, Becky G, and Alex McNoll star in AXL. Axel.
If you're nasty. A deep-sea submersible, part of an international undersea observation program, has been attacked by a massive creature previously thought to be extinct and now lies disabled at the bottom of the deepest trench in the Pacific with its crew trapped inside. With time running out, expert deep-sea rescue diver Jonas Taylor is recruited by a visionary Chinese oceanographer against the wishes of his daughter to save the crew and the ocean itself from this unstoppable threat, the 75-foot-long shark known as the Megalodon. Jason Statham
horribly miscast, Jessica McMahmy and Ruby Rose, and you'll see Dwight in there if you don't blink, and Lee Bingbing, all star in a fantastic book series that's probably going to be an okay movie called The Meg. I'll be there, Richmond people. Contact me.
But if that's not enough of a sympathetic monster for you, then tune into Sven Gulli. He's got Lon Chaney Jr. in the role that not only defined him, but also set the tone for the Universal Monsters. Mix one part reluctant outsider with two parts Romani curse, and you get 1941's The Wolfman.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Geek News! Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Even a man who's pure of heart and says his prayers at night may become a wolf when the wolf bane blooms in the... Yeah, thank you. I know these things, man. I know these things a lot. So, actor and comedian Ben Schwartz has been tapped to voice the title character in the live-action CG hybrid Sonic the Hedgehog for Paramount Pictures. Sorry, Jaleel White fans. James Marsden, Tika Sumpter, Jim Carrey, also star in the film based on the classic Sega games about a super-fast blue hedgehog named Sonic, who's on a quest to collect, you know, his preciousness and defeat Dr. Robotnik because it's Dr. Eggman now in the games. Come on, catch up, Arrest of America. A scientist who has imprisoned animals and robots and stolen magical chaos emeralds. Carrot Leaf, Carrot, of course, is Robotnik. The movie's shooting for November 15th of next year. Schwartz is currently voicing Dewey Duck on Disney Channel's reboot of DuckTales and Leonardo in the upcoming Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It's surprising he has time for so many iconic roles, as he's recently partnered with his son Steve Harrington on a new caviar-flavored tequila. Want snake juice?
Speaking of weird combinations, Chris Pratt's Cowboy Ninja Viking will no longer be hitting theaters next summer. Universal has indefinitely delayed the film and pulled it from its planned release date of June 2019. The picture was in pre-production and last week cast Priyanka Chopra as its female lead as it was heading for a shoot in London next month. The studio says it remains in active development, though sources say the project has suffered from script issues and rumors of a shutdown have percolated since March. The pick was not an expensive gamble for the studio. Sources say it was in the $65 million range and looked at it as a potential franchise starter. It was to have been helmed by Michelle McLaren, the acclaimed television director who was to make her feature debut on the project. The Image Comics property revolves around a counterintelligence unit formed by psychotherapist Dr. Sebastian Gislane, who transforms agents into soldiers known as triplets, a reference to multiple personalities. So sadly, we'll need to wait to see if Burt Macklin's Dollhouse will ever actually be made.
Monster Kids rejoice! Fangoria is back. In addition to new issues of the classic horror magazine, the beloved genre company will be moving into movie production as well. They just released a trailer for Puppet Master, The Littlest Reich, and now they've said, you know, Tom Lennon's involved in that.
Has to be.
And now they set director Chelsea Stardust to direct a brand new horror comedy called Satanic Panic.
Satanic Panic, bam, blam.
And this is the name of a Rocky Shadow cast.
It does, doesn't it?
The film's plot follows a pizza delivery girl at the end of her financial rope who has to fight for her life and her tips, just her tips, when her last order of the night turns out to be the high society Satanist in need of a virgin sacrifice. Like pizza delivery people are. Oh, yeah, they are. Producer Dallas Sonnier seems to be setting the bar pretty high. Our movie screams for a female director's vision, and we had a blast getting to know several truly talented candidates. With Chelsea at the helm, I feel strongly that we have a future horror comedy classic on our hands that will be celebrated by Fangoria audiences who crave wickedly entertaining, boundary-pushing movies. Also worth noting, Satanic Panic will be the second pizza delivery-related horror film in recent memory because A24 is the Chance the Rapper-led movie called Slice coming out sometime or another. The distributor's been very secretive about that release date. I wonder why. This is also not the first time pizza-related horror content has been in the world. There was a reason why 80s kids always, without question, would avoid the Noid.
The Academy Awards have always gotten a lot of flack from movie fans. Over its decades-long run, there have been complaints about its long run time, its safe nature, how boring it is, its politicized voting, its generally white membership, and generally white winners, and everything in between. Luckily, every now and then, they make moves that show that they're kind of listening. Though after having the lowest-rated Academy Awards showing last year, they kind of have to, right? According to THR, change is on the horizon. The first big change is that they will dedicate themselves to making sure the show is done in 3 hours. This will be accomplished by presenting select categories live in the Dolby Theater during commercial breaks, categories to be determined. Rather than skipping those moments, however, they will be aired later in the broadcast, with the best parts being aired because cutting crappy sketches and removing commercials would be just too damn much. The biggest change, however, is that they are looking to add a new category for outstanding achievement in popular film, with key details surrounding that particular award forthcoming. At this point, it's unclear whether or not the popular film category will be implemented as early as next year, let alone what qualifies. So listen up, people who play fantasy Oscars.
I've got my Jack Klugman latex mask ready.
No. I'm talking to the people who play the Oscar version of fantasy baseball. You've put in so much work over the years, and now you'll finally be able to accurately make predictions because you will have actually seen the movies in at least one category.
Well, that's nice of them. Hey, remember earlier? Guess what? The most popular meteor shower of the year will climax on the nights of August 11th to 12th and 12th to 13th in the wee hours of the next mornings. A crescent moon expected to set early will leave a dark backdrop for the highly anticipated display. Whether we are treated to a drizzle or a downpour remains to be seen. NASA meteor expert Bill Cook forecast 60 to 7 meteors per hour, less than the spectacular showing in 2016 where we got like 150 to 200 and that was awesome. This is the meteor shower people view most because it occurs in the summer when the nights are warm and comfortable, when you only have to worry about mosquitoes. The moon is very favorable for the Perseides this year, so that'll make the Perseides probably the best shower of 2018 for people who want to go out and view it. And it's a blast. You should see it. And it is better than the ones that happen when it's incredibly cold. The prolific event, so called because its radiant lies in the constellation Perseus, occurs every year as our planet passes through the path of the comet Swift Tuttle. And Swift Turtle would have been a much better name.
Right.
So your helpful tips. The Perseides are best seen after 2 a.m. local time. Watch from somewhere dark and exposed, free of trees, houses, other skyward obstructions. Get comfy. This year's rates are about one meteor per minute, so you're looking at about an hour of prime time rubbernecking. Have a glass of wine or vodka, something to relax you. In case you miss the meteors, you don't want your time to be wasted. Give your eyes at least 30 minutes to adjust to the darkness. Ditch the binoculars and telescope for the au naturel look. Take your clothes off for maximum relaxation during the show. If you miss this weekend's big event, there's still time to catch a glimpse of the Perseid meteors as Earth continues its trek across the comet's dusty trail through August 24th. If any meteors land around you, please alert local authorities or just take whatever you find in the crater home and raise it as your own to be responsible and caring. After all, you may one day get caught in a tornado and you wouldn't want to have raised some jerk who won't help you. GRD is licensed under the Creative Commons
attribution. We're talking to you, Superman.
United States 3.0 licensing. Check us out on Facebook
Stupid
and Twitter.
Lip. Grow a mustache.
Stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. Oh, he should see Jody Verrill. He can grow a great mustache if he tuck. We are at youtube.com/geekradiodaily. That's right. It's a Creepshow reference, and it was about grass and not facial hair, but it's fine. It's funny. It's been a long week, all right? So everybody, get out there, have yourself a damn blast, and let us know what you did. Send something to podcast@geekradiodaily.com, or as always, drop us a voicemail.
510-GRD.
And we will see you on the other side.
What do you think? It stinks.
Man, game over, man. Game over.
That was lame.
I don't know if you noticed, but the podcast was a disaster.
Listen, ladies, it's been real and it's been fun.
But has it been real fun?
Mm-mm.
Nope.
You want $500?
Sure.
How about three?
$300?
Yeah.
Three's fine.
My children are staying here tonight watching TV. I want you to check up on them every 30 minutes.
Check up on them?
Yeah, make sure they are all right, make sure they are fed, make sure they go to bed, you know, these things.
Sir, I can send out for a babysitting service.
No, I don't trust babysitters.
What about him? What makes you think you can trust him?
Tell me that's not a face you can trust.
I'd love to help you with your problem, sir. But unfortunately, I'm here alone.
100, 200, 300. Here you are.
I thought you said 500.
No, I said 300.
No, sir. I distinctly heard you say 500.
Are you calling me a liar?
No, sir. What I'm saying is that you accidentally forgot that the first thing you said was
500. But what I last said was 300. And what you say last is what counts.
Well then, if you say 500 one last time, we have a deal.
You f***ing with me, Bendel?
No, sir. But I'm by myself. And looking after your kids is a pain in the ass I don't need.
Are you calling my kids a pain in the ass?
Why, no, sir. Not the kids. It's the situation that is a pain in the ass.
No, you were right the first time. They're a pain in the ass.